Welcome to Social 1776. I'm your host, Daniel Leach. I'm joined by my co-host here from Courtroom Watch, Eric Hughes Jones, the Freedom Screamer. Anyways, we want to do a little recap on a case that we were handling back in around 2016. A lady named Martha and her son, his name was Tyler, but we're going to leave out their last names for protecting them. But anyways, this one, I want this to go out to Joe Gaudio, and so he has a better understanding, a full understanding of what this case entailed. And Eric was my co-host, and we were both working on this case together. Anyways, I'll let Eric tell you what his perspective is and what he experienced while we were working on this case. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, thanks, Daniel. Now, let me just start off by saying Daniel caught me cold on this, so I'm going back years now from memory. So, you know, this case has kind of faded away because, you know, for several reasons, we did what we could. When anyone gets involved in a case like this, the system is reluctant to talk to people in the media, people who are activists like myself and Daniel, because there's a minor involved. And I can understand to a point, you know, that wanting to protect the minor. Unfortunately, the system was not protecting the minor. The mother was trying to protect her son. From what I can gather, all the evidence indicated that the grandparents were not trying to protect the son, or worse. The judge, local Thomas DeSalvo, was not trying to protect the young boy. The chief of police, Joe Rieger of the Webster, New York Police Department, was not trying to protect the young boy. They were going after the mother and constantly locking her up because she was making what I would characterize as substantiated, evidence-backed allegations that the boy was being sexually abused by certain members of the family. And because the members of the family, not the mother, but other members of the family, were purportedly involved in the abuse and connected to the local judge, DeSalvo, and the chief of police, Joe Rieger, the system was circling the wagons and going after the mother to the point of locking her up in jail for nothing, for bogus charges. She wasn't doing anything except trying to protect the kid. And they kept trying to take the kid, lock the mother up. She took the boy in at one point, and this is what gave credibility to her, you know, version, was that they got to a hospital in I believe it was Greece or Gates, New York. The hospital determined there was enough evidence to substantiate a charge of sexual abuse, you know, being perpetrated against the young boy. The mother's trying to expose it and protect the child. The hospital went so far as to say, we'd like this child transferred to a different hospital that has a more sophisticated rape kit. And before the boy could be transferred for that further investigation, so to speak, the Webster police show up at the hospital out of their jurisdiction and took the boy back to the abusers. Hello? So this got a very, very dark situation. Now, we went to the FBI at one point. When I say we, the mother did, and we were trying to help the mother as best we could from a peripheral, you know, position. We can only get involved so much. The system's not talking to us. They're not giving any details. We did what we could through phone calls and pressure and et cetera. But apparently the mother went to the FBI, and even the FBI had concerns that there was being damage done to the boy. But you know, did an interview with the mother, didn't do anything to hassle the mother. They seemed to be, from what I could gather, and I'm not a big fan of the FBI, trust me, but in this case, apparently the two agents who were involved were legitimately caring about the, you know, the welfare of the child. Unfortunately, and let me also add, a very high-ranking member of the New York State Police was on our side at the time, extremely well-connected and high-level insider at the New York State Police, gave the word to us that, okay, so this person, so we have the FBI agents who are actually trying to get involved to help the child. the New York State Police were actually starting to ask questions at a very high level, and the highest level of the Attorney General for the state of New York reportedly, and this is just what I heard, okay? So this is hearsay. I don't have direct evidence of this, but I'm just telling you what my journalistic investigation indicated at the time was, and this came right from one of these high-level law enforcement people that were trying to get involved to help the child, that the Attorney General's office for the state of New York called and said there won't be any more investigation into the chief of police of Webster, town of Webster, the Judge DeSalvo, and the people who were supporting the abusers and circling the wagons and going after the mother. And so basically, the word was put out, they called off any investigation that would have been taking place that would have helped the child and would have assisted the mother in protecting her child. And once again, there were other members of the family that I won't name that reportedly were abusing the child. And there was actual evidence, pictures of abuse. And the scariest part about this whole investigation, so we had some good FBI guys that wanted to help. We had some good high-level state trooper investigators that wanted to help. They were called off by the Attorney General for the state of New York. And when now what I'm about to tell you now was really scary, and I have firsthand knowledge of this because I spoke to him directly. The mother asked me to contact a man named, and this was very telling because this shows you how the whole system works. She asked me to contact a man named, I believe it was Ken Lanning, LANNING. He has a site called missingkids.org. He is the man who trains the FBI agents in child abuse and in child endangerment, child trafficking instances at Quantico, Virginia, at the main FBI training base. This guy's a high-level educator and trainer. He lays the groundwork, the format, the template, the policies, the procedures. He was the trainer. He's the guy who trained the FBI agents on what to do in situations like this. And when I called him for help, and I said, look, can you look into this? We have evidence of child abuse here. The mother, took pictures of the injuries. The mother has pictures of the injuries. She said, you all may be in possession of child pornography. I'm not doing a thing to help you. Nothing I can do. Sorry. And he was perfectly willing to let the kids suffer, let the mother be hunted by the corrupt judge and the corrupt chief of police for Webster, New York. He didn't give one damn about the child's welfare. And he actually threatened us to protect the abusers. And that's what you get at the highest level of the FBI. He's the guy that does all the training. So even if the lower level two FBI guys who did the interview with the mother were well-intentioned and seemed like they wanted to help and didn't try to do any harm to the situation, they looked like they might have been interested in trying to do something. They couldn't get anywhere because the highest level people are on the side of the abusers. And the New York State Police investigator who was involved, very high level, was even trumped by this New York State Attorney General who said they're not going to be any more investigating. And by the way, one little side note on this, the New York State Police investigator told us that this was not the first time that the chief of police of Webster, New York, Joe Rieger, had been under investigation. He was already under investigation for other issues. He was already known to be corrupt. And that's why I have no problem coming forward with this, because I have it from very good sources on the inside that Chief of Police Joe Rieger, and I don't even know if he's still the Chief of Police or not, was extremely corrupt and absolutely protecting the abusers instead of remedying the situation and putting the abusers in prison where they belong and freeing the young boy and his mother from all this persecution. So I hope that made sense, and I laid that out, and I did this from memory, and it's been years. So, but as best as I can remember, that's exactly what happened. And then I tried to delineate what was hearsay and what I was actually told myself. A lot of this was using intermediaries, people, but always very reliable. And I always screen the sources and double and triple check things. And I've, by the way, I sat in the courtroom of Judge DeSalvo, one of the people protecting the perpetrators. He's a Webster, New York, town judge, who kept trying to lock up the mother for making allegations, claiming the allegations were false without ever looking into it or backing up an investigation, just keep locking her up. And it was obvious he was protecting the abusers. Didn't want to see the evidence. Part of the problem, not the solution. And I have sat in his courtroom before for hours and watched him very carefully operate in other matters. And I'll tell you, this is one of the most cruel, mean, out of his mind, corrupt, flying off the handle, threatening people, no justice, no due process, no serve the people, no nothing. He's a tyrant and a dictator and a monster. And I can testify to that firsthand because I did sit in his courtroom. So that's the long and short of what happened in this case. I hope it's helpful to somebody. I wish I could have done more. I think I got from Daniel over the past couple of years as this thing kind of played out that the what we did may have made a difference because the system seemed to back off of the mother, return more custody of the child to the mother and not the perpetrating abusers. You know, once again, I've seen the evidence, the pictorial evidence of the abuse. And so the child was abused. There was no question about it. The hospital even agreed. I'll go back to that. The hospital wanted to send the kid to another hospital with a more advanced rape kit. They thought that there was enough abuse. And what are the Webster police doing running over to another town out of their jurisdiction and yanking the child before he could get the more sophisticated rape kit and taking it back to the abusers? So the whole thing just reeked of absolute corruption, pedophilia, abuse at the highest levels of local government. And I stand by what I said. So, Daniel, is that helpful to anybody in any way? I hope so. And I hope this situation had a positive outcome. I'd like the child and the mother to know we've done everything we could. There came a point where we could do no more, and we just had to turn it over to God and hope that this would turn out and that the boy would make it into his young adulthood, and then he can take this in whichever way he wants to, and we can help him even more once he's no longer a minor. Over to you, Daniel.
Well, Eric, I appreciate your doing this and recalling all the details that you went through. I did a lot of the on-the-ground investigations and did the interview with the mother. The video, I still have that. You know, she did request that we had to take the information off the internet, you know, because the corrupt judge ordered her to take it down, or he was going to basically take her permanent rights away as a parent and put her in jail again. And I would definitely want to have to do that to her. We respected her request, you know, even though it was a very difficult thing to do, knowing, you know, the situation and the case. You know, Martha did tell me that her uncle, who was also involved in this case, was very high up in the church, who was also involved in the Boys Town case in Nebraska.
Oh, and, surprise, surprise. What a coincidence, huh?
Right. So, you know, this thing runs really deep, and I remember going and investigating, talking to the next-door neighbor, and actually she was really sick, and she didn't think she was going to make it to the court, so she wound up writing a hand letter, a witness letter, testifying about the boy, which I've actually put public.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. That was a very powerful
and unrefuted
affidavit of truth from that woman that lent great credibility to the mother's case that the boy was being abused, on top of the pictures of the abuse, on top of the hospital that wanted to send the boy to a more sophisticated rape kit because they thought there was abuse. I mean, this was not just rumor, innuendo, and a little circumstantial, maybe, you know, evidence. This was piles. It was overwhelming. And when something like this happened, and I will say this in this case, I think that this case, although we may not have known it at the time, I suspected it, but I think it resonated I think it sent a shockwave throughout many parts of the system nationwide and worldwide, because we've made a big stink about this. And I'm because so many entities, good people in law enforcement, so to speak, wanted to help this boy, and then I think the word traveled, and I think it really sent a shockwave, and I think there was a long, a deep, positive impact that many people in the system, so to speak, it's just hard for me to put spell this out, but I think many people in the system really had to look inward and say, hey, I've got to take a side in this. Which side am I on? Am I on the side of the pedophile government and of course, the church, which is one of the largest pedophile organizations in the world? Or am I on, you know, am I on the good side? Am I on the good, with the good guys or the bad guys? And I hate to be so black and white about it, but this case really separated the good from the bad. I think it really clearly made a lot of people who were involved in government, involved in law enforcement, involved in three-letter agencies, involved in investigations, you know, at a professional, you know, high-paid level, it just caused them to really to kind of come down on one side or the other, the side of dark or the side of light. And I think that if nothing else, I think that it delineated the sides in this battle to free a lot of children. Oh, by the way, hundreds of children were recently rescued in California, and a friend of mine saw a news report on Channel 4 out of Buffalo, and it was very interesting. 30-something children had been rescued and returned to their homes in Tennessee, and we had been hearing rumors that there were children being kept in the underground tunnels, and I'd been in the underground tunnels underneath Washington, D.C., and that in certain parts of these, and not all of the tunnels, there's thousands of miles of them, but I mean, I've been down there, so I know they exist. So this is not conspiracy theory. I've seen it. And in certain parts and areas of those tunnels that are kept secret, many children were kept kidnapped and to service the corrupt elite pedophiles. And we've been hearing that those children had been liberated, and all of a sudden 30-something children showed up being returned to their homes in Tennessee. Nowhere in the there was only two people at the press conference, one from the state of Tennessee, one from the federal government. There was almost no news cameras. This should have been huge news. Why was it not? This was a big deal. And if he hadn't seen this report, none of us would have ever known that this event ever took place. So if something interesting we could look into, if we can get any information on that. They didn't say where the very conveniently, they didn't say where the children were rescued from. They just said they were returned to their homes in Tennessee. And with the absolute deafening silence in the mainstream media, except for this one report on Channel 4, and only two people from the government, one from the state, one from the feds, that's it. There should have been dozens of law enforcement people there taking a victory lap, patting each other on the back, explaining what happened, announcing arrests. Where the perpetrators were found here, they were found in the basement of this home or this tunnel or underground facility, whatever, nothing. And then the story completely disappeared. So there may very well be and I'm hoping, you know, hope is an iffy thing because I don't like to get wrapped up in false, you know, feel-good stuff when the, you know, if we're losing the battle, let's be honest and say we're losing it and fight even harder. But there may be some good news coming out. With a bunch of children, at least some, being liberated from wherever they're being found. And once again, why was there there was no reporters there. There should have been 50 different news agencies there with cameras staked up and from all over the world. This is a big deal. Over 30 children rescued from some pedophile network that remains unspoken. That's very telling. And returned, quote, returned to their homes in Tennessee. End of story. Close the book. They don't want people looking down that rabbit hole, looking around that corner, looking behind that curtain. So this, you know, there's some things that are maybe going on behind the scenes that may be positive. I'm sure there's so much negative going on behind the scenes that was probably just a drop in the bucket. We need to see more people at work in the system doing the right thing. Unfortunately, the people at the very top, the Ken Lannings, the guy who trained the FBI, the guy who was accusing us of holding the evidence, that we were committing a crime, Whisperly, I said, you son of a bitch, how do you look at the mirror in the morning? You train the FBI, you probably think you're a good guy, and you're going to accuse the people who are trying to save the kid and protect the perpetrators? And he ended up hanging up on me. But, you know, obvious, which was an indication of his guilt. But he was snickering when he was talking to me. I could hear it in his voice. He could care less about the welfare of the child. His job is to be the Praetorian Guard and protect the perpetrators and the pedophiles, period, end of story.
Yeah, so, you try explaining these things to people that have never been involved in something like this. And then they think you're the crazy person because I wish
that were true, because it would mean that a whole bunch of children are not suffering. Unfortunately, they are. So, yeah, people, don't cast stones at the messenger, which is me. I'm trying to help somebody out. What are you all doing?
Right, yeah. I mean, this is something that Eric and I, we do this a lot. We help people all the time.
24/7.
So, anyways, Eric, man, I just wanted to say I appreciate you, going down memory lane with me. And, this case has just been on my mind lately, so.
I hope it was helpful. I hope it was helpful. It's been years. Like I said, folks, I didn't prep for this phone call. Daniel just called me and said, hey, can I do an interview with you right now about the case that took place 10 years ago? And, okay. So, once again, we do this 24/7. This is not BS that we throw out there to get money. I can certainly assure there's very little of that coming in. And we don't do it for glory, and we don't do it for anything other than to help people out, because once you've suffered in this life, you don't want to see, and you have a heart, you don't want to see other people suffer. That's about the best way I can put it. So all you people out there who are snickering and saying, are you crazy or this doesn't, yeah, I wish this stuff didn't happen. I would love to go back to sitting on a beach like a tar and playing my guitar and, having a cocktail or whatever, but it ain't happening because there's too much
Kumbaya,
suffering out there.
Right?
Look, and all I can say is people get involved. The truth will set you free, and the truth may help you set somebody else free who's not free right now. And that's what we're all about. The courtroomwatch.com, is our motto over at Courtroom Watch. And just go to courtroomwatch.com. We got documents. We got phone blitzes. We're helping the woman from Poland and Michigan who got her diner closed down. And when she opened it, now she's in jail. We got a lot going on. We got a vaccine refusal declaration that you can hand out to keep yourself away from the forced vaccinations. We got a criminal trespass warning to serve on anybody who's effing with you. We got a mask letter that'll get you out of wearing a mask. There's a vaccine liability letter attached to the vaccine refusal declaration. There's a letter we just drafted to send to stores encouraging them to avoid a boycott by respecting those who cannot wear a mask, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're getting her done as best we can. And by the way, we've had some victories recently. The county executive for Buffalo has pretty much disappeared into the night. He was coming out every two or three days threatening the entire Erie County where Buffalo is with, all kinds of threats to shut down people's business, take their CFO, turn their power off, have their insurance canceled. And we served him so many criminal trespass warnings that he basically shut up and went away. Haven't heard from him for about 2 months, and it can't be any accident. So there's benefits that will come to you getting involved. There's plenty that you can do by going to courtroomwatch.com. Thank you very much, all you people out there who do get involved. God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work. And the rest of you need to look inward and find it in your heart and your soul to have some courage. Find your courage and get involved and try to help somebody through this battle. There's a lot going on. There's a lot we can all do right now. And thank you, Daniel, for all your help. Daniel does great work. I'd like to thank Daniel and Teresa for all the time that they can spare putting this whole thing together with social1776.com. Sign up there and we'll keep you updated at courtroomwatch.com. And for anybody that has serious issues, you can reach out and contact me. My contact information is out there. And we got our first calls from overseas in Europe, so we're helping some people over there with their issues, and we're just doing whatever we can to help people out and help people stay free.
Awesome. All right, well, again, I want to say thanks, Eric. I appreciate you taking the call here at the late hour. I'm going to let you go. I got to actually get ready for bed myself and talk soon, man.
Beautiful. Hang in there, everybody. God bless and take care. Eric the Freedom Screamer, over and out.
Peace out, brother. Bye-bye.
Take care, bro.